Zara, we are on.
We are.
As I was saying before, I'm like, do I use your Instagram name or your full name? But it's Zara Jade
Warrington.
Warrington.
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome.
But just Zara.
Just Zara. Yeah.
Even like my, what is it, my real estate sends me like the rent certificate and they're like, hi Zara Jade, thanks for your payment.
Yeah, you're like, that's what it is.
I was like, yeah, not my actual name, but.
Yeah, that's like, I don't use my full name, like Jackson James Johnson. It's just too much. It sounds so fake.
Yeah.
Like, it's too much.
And because it's all the J's. I feel like that was that generation though, of parents naming. They were like, how many can I do in like the same thing?
Yeah, the Triple J era of music and like parents smoking weed and partying and acid and everything.
Yeah, and going, I guess you could have been JJJ. Was that her intentions?
Yeah, I think it was. My dad's last name was Roberts, so it was like JJJ hyphen Roberts. And I was like, that's too much.
Too many things.
So I just cut it back and made it really simple.
Yeah.
So we've known each other for ages now.
Yes.
Well, years. A while.
Years. I feel like we started at fitness or World Gym around the same time.
Yeah,
or
you started World Gym, Fitness Cartel, yeah.
Just after me.
Yeah, who? I don't know.
I think I started just before you.
Yeah, but we were like in the first few weeks.
So, yeah, it was very, very similar timing.
We're going through the similar journey.
I was going to say, because we were going around the same kind of things at the same time.
Yeah, like going through like picking up clients, slow times, busy times. It's always strange when you first start at a, it's a quite a big gym. It's probably one of the biggest gyms on the coast.
Yeah, I would say it is with like clientele and
members area, side. Yeah. And whenever you start at a really big gym, it's not just like a new workplace. And I'm sure people who work at like UE Insurance is probably like the comparative of that, where you've also got like social space as well.
Yeah.
And then you've got and personalities of other trainers.
Yeah.
And then like, oh, I don't want to step on toes, but I also want to be successful.
Yeah.
And like, oh, is the people that are coming up to me, are they other people's clients? So it's...
Yeah, not knowing. Kind of finding your way in it,
like
I guess.
Going on your high school.
Yeah.
It's really
strange. It's funny. I remember driving down to my first staff meeting and I was like so anxious like going into that. And I'm like, now I'm just like,
bleh.
Could not, like not don't care, but I'm just like, I feel so comfortable and I guess at home there. And I think there's like 30 PTs now.
Wow.
And there was 9 when I came on. But it seemed like such like an intimidating thing. But then, it's just like.
It's exposure therapy, so to speak. It's like the first time you do an ice bath, you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Fuck. And it's always going to be hard. But if you do it every day, you just...
Yeah.
Pop into it.
You're like, I'm fine.
It's like public speaking or, I'm sure like when I was, because was that your first personal training?
It was my first big commercial gym. I'd done like tiny and like outdoor.
Yeah.
But I even remember being, when did I? Over 3 years ago. But I even like, because it was World Gym, I remember I like put makeup on to go in the first day. Like I felt like I needed.
It was a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I was like, and because I guess I wasn't confident in what I was delivering as much that I was like, I need to feel like I like look the part. It's that lasted like a week though.
And luckily you've got good skin anyway, so you don't have to worry too much. But I'm sure it's not always great. But I mean, it's hard to feel confident about delivering something that you haven't just done a heap of times.
Like, the only way to get confident is to do it, but you're, I guess, faking it till you...
Yeah, of course, of course. Anyone who says they're not faking it till they make it are bullshitting. Like I love some of the best guys I listen to on podcasts and YouTube videos, and they all say, like, of course.
Yeah.
Like, people at university are literally faking it till they make it. The people that their first week that they're being the teachers at a university, they're faking it till they make it. They're unsure about, like, they're the most educated, they're the most educated person in the room, but they're probably unsure. They're like, I used to be the guy sitting down, now I'm the person standing up.
And if you're not, then you're not doing anything new. Like, if you're always just feeling like you're,
I feel like that's probably the biggest... Stuck. That's probably the biggest weakness of a lot of people that I see around me is they're not getting uncomfortable enough.
Yeah, because it's so scary. Like, it's even, it's in like the smallest things, like people coming to the gym on their own or like doing something without their partner or like taking themselves for a coffee on their own. Like it can be so small, but then also so massive, like changing a job or...
That's a huge one for young people or even all ages, but you know, both of us, we have a probably pretty similar niche of our clients, I'd say, like similar.
Yeah.
You know, women of all ages, but are probably a slightly higher population of like
that age
17, record. 18 to like 30 or whatnot.
And then obviously
mums.
Outliers, I have a few mums.
I feel like the biggest struggle for them, and this is young men as well, but people do not want to go and do something on their own.
Which I don't get because I love.
I love it.
Like, I love. I'm like, I'm going to take myself out for a coffee or...
Once you've been personal training for a bit, you're like, I just want to fuck you up. I just want to be by myself.
I don't know. I'm just... I feel like there's a certain almost like romantic side to it, to like doing it on your own, like taking yourself for the things like, oh, I want somebody to do.
I'm sure you would have heard me saying, like, every time I come in is when we catch up. So basically, let me just reference everyone. We worked at the same gym around the same time.
Yeah.
And it was a big gym, a lot of energies going around. Yeah, lots of people working hard, and everyone would catch up in the staff room when there was only like 7, 8, 9 of us at the time.
Yeah, it was a tiny team. Like,
it was a smaller
comparative
team.
Comparative to now, yeah.
And there'd be times where you'd be pretty stuffed and you're pretty overwhelmed, and you get a lunch break and you get to have a good one-on-one conversation with another trainer. And some you'd avoid, just be honest.
Some you'd come in and you'd leave the room.
Some you just don't get along with, or some it's just the energies are different. They're up really high and you're like, I just want a really low conversation.
You know you're not going to take value from it, I guess. Like, it's like, I'm feeling drained, I don't want to feel more.
It's like choosing friendships or whatever.
You're not going to click with everyone.
Some people, relationships, this person... I really find this lady really attractive, or this woman really attractive, but that didn't vibe with me. Doesn't matter how much I'm attracted to her.
So it's just not.
We would have awesome conversations in the staff room all the time, going over like...
Just go through everything. And then we get to the point where we're like, okay, I've actually got to go somewhere. Like, I've got...
Yeah, yeah. I've got a client
that's
waiting.
My break. I was meant to train.
We made it work though. And then I'd motivate you to train. You'd motivate me to train. Yeah. Like, just go and do it. And then you'd have the resting bitch face while you train. I'm like, guys, it's all right. She's a nice girl, trust me.
Or you'd come up to me and be like, are you okay? Like, I can see it on your face. You're like, there's a bit going on. And I'd be like, yeah.
Yeah, there's always a bit going on, I suppose. Especially when you're like trying to build a business.
For sure.
But yeah, we'd have some good conversations. And I suppose a lot of those conversations would go for around 30 to 40 minutes. And then at the end of the conversation, I'd be like, we should do a podcast.
Yeah.
You know, so what, 4 years later, now we're here.
Yeah, now we're doing one. It's that long.
Yeah. I don't think you would have been comfortable doing one back then.
Probably not. I would have done it, but would have I felt comfortable in it, or would have I delivered in the way that I wanted to? Like, probably.
Oh, no, it's just like, what do I not say? What do not, I say? Yeah. I think it helps. Some of my best podcasts, when I've been on someone else's podcast or when I've had a guest on, is with someone who I've known them a little bit first.
Yeah.
And like, I trusted that they're not going to attack me or anything. Like, as we're talking at the start, I'm like, I don't have a...
The stitch ups if you just got girls in and then we're just like, right.
Yeah, like, so
gonna,
why do you think this trauma hit you?
It's I'm going to roast you.
I like having an open conversation, which is really cool.
Yeah.
So I left Fitness Cartel, which was World Gym, the gym we were working at. I'm sure there's a lot of people listening to this that don't live on the sunny coast. We'll just say the gym we're working at. I left there maybe 2.5, 3 years now.
Was it that long?
Yeah, it's been ages. I left there before I moved in here. I've been here for 1.5 years.
Yeah, I would say about 2 years.
Two years. I think it was November 2 years ago or whatnot. We're both quite busy then.
Yeah.
What are some of the changes that you've gone through since then in your space? I see you have a new kind of brand, a new page.
Yeah.
We would speak a lot about how I think you have so much potential, but you were so overwhelmed. And I can relate to this because it happens to me all the time. I've just finished working at a different gym recently, and now I'm not doing too many face-to-face because I want to focus online.
Yeah.
But I would always say to you, like, you need to put more videos up online.
Yeah.
You have like a really great body. You're very knowledgeable. Yeah. You're really relatable. You've been through, we'll go through at the end of the podcast, you've been through... you know, relationship with food problems, like all different stuff. You're so relatable, but you were so exhausted from working so much.
Yeah, I guess, mate. There would have always been, could have made the time, but it was like I was doing you're kind of just getting by doing the minimum things that you need to do, that there's no extra time for like the creativeness or...
People always say, you can always make time for a workout because it's not so creative. You should have a program and you just go in and get it started. But I feel like I need more energy to do a good quality post. If I do a shit one, I'm like, I didn't put... Especially because back then, captions were a big deal. It's like, you're going to write more. Now, like, people are using ChatGPT to write their fucking...
Are they?
Yeah, they're... Didn't you know
I'm
this?
I'm late to the party. No, I knew it's a thing, but I didn't know people actually using it.
I haven't touched it. I don't know how to use it. I've watched videos of people on TikTok and they're like, ChatGPT...
Write
me a workout program for glutes, for side glutes, whatever, and then write a caption that would go well to post on Instagram. And the caption will be different on Instagram as TikTok. And, like,
and it does it
all for you.
There you go. What a world.
So... What's changed? Like, how did you... Because you've got a new brand. So what's your new brand?
So my new brand is Beyond Bodies, which is just really putting, like, I guess, the self-development world meeting fitness is my long-term goal with that. going more online, still doing face-to-face, but I've, like, when I first started, would kind of just do whatever people needed in a sense of, I guess, like, the early mornings, late nights, all through the day. So, like, compacting that down, trying to structure more time so I can have, like, creative mornings, times off.
If your goal with Beyond Bodies,
yep.
I love that. For your goal with Beyond Bodies is to help more women around the world, right?
Yep.
For you to do that, you have to help less people face-to-face today.
I know, which is, like, what I struggle so much with, because I love the face-to-face component and I love what I currently have, but I know that, in a way, it's also not maybe the thing that's, like, holding me back in a sense.
Yes,
but you're like, yes.
Yeah, because I've been where you are right now.
I'm like, why can't I have both?
You can. So I built Booty by Jacks to a pretty decent number. I think I got to like 200 online clients while I was still at Fitness Cartel.
I remember you being like to me, my goal is just 100 and then I can do it. And it's then you insane get to where you are now. They're like looking at that. Like
I might have been at 150, but like I was like, I'm making more than what I was making at the gym.
Yeah.
I'm like 1.5 times more.
Yeah.
But I was so burnt out.
That's what I mean. I'm like,
I wasn't healthy. Yeah. So you can do both, but you just, what about you?
Yeah. I don't think people realize how much time goes into if you are the coach, like the content creator, the editor, the face-to-face PT, the one that writes the programs, does the check-ins. Like,
for example, someone who I really like online that I've known her since when she first started, when she didn't have any followers and she competed, Rachel Dillon.
Yeah.
She first competed in WBFF and I
did
was like...
Did you follow back then? Like you followed along her journey?
Yeah. Well, I had like a bigger Instagram back then on my personal page and I was really focused on my personal page, like modeling, going over to America, competing. I went to North American WBFF and it was like one of her first comps. I'm pretty sure she won it straight away. I'm pretty sure she came top three and then became pro quite quickly. And then her social media built. But I'd seen her since she was like a little baby basically. And she was quite shy at the start. Hardworking, but for example, her business now, she has like an office and a team of like 200 plus people. I have one assistant and I'm trying to keep up with the numbers that she's doing. You don't have any assistants. You're basically doing it all your own. And you need to do it your own because we can't afford to pay a full-time team yet.
No, and then I'm also like some things I did outsource. I was like things like doing the website, like graphic design thing. I'm like, this needs to look professional, like getting like, a flexible diet and guide and things like that that I've got done like by somebody else. But I'm like, what can I outsource because I am my brand, if that makes sense? Like,
yeah, but that's outsourcing something that like physically, like you're not using like an... You don't know how to use a program, how to like fully do that stuff.
Yeah, no, like, things like that. But I'm like, well, at what point can you like outsource your like, I guess people editing your content?
You basically, and I don't like, I, first of all, I love Rachel Dillon. She's so successful.
Yeah.
She has motivated me because I had a really successful brand working with like male clients and doing like functional bodybuilding and stuff like that. And then I've moved to Booty by Jacks, but I've seen her just go crazy through the sky, and obviously there's been ups and downs, but she's blown it up. It was Bodies by Rachel, and then it's moved with us, and she's kind of taken a direction like you where they're trying to not use too many words that is too much body image focus. End of the day, their brands sell body image, but they're coming up with things that aren't so body focused and more like, you know, self-development focused
inclusive.
Yeah, so like she's really successful, but like any other, I don't just mean to say her, like any other, Lauren Simpson, any top coach, they have massive teams.
Yeah.
But they make it look like on Instagram and social media that they're replying back to everything on social media, they're doing it. They're not. Yeah. And if they say they are, like I'm all for it. Like I'm not trying to like, rip on anyone or whatever, but like, if you want to provide a good service and you have more than 50 online clients, you either have to go 100% in yourself and have no time for yourself, and then your body starts to like...
But then you have nothing for your clients either. Like, I'm like, I can't show up well for them if I'm not good. I'm like, what are you offering then?
That's what happened towards the end of when I gave my notice to leave Fitness Cartel. I was like, I'm giving my face-to-face clients as much energy as I can. And then in between that till like 9 p.m. or I'll be sitting in the garage. I'll pull up in the garage when I get home in the afternoon at like, you know, late clients, like 6, 7 p.m. or whatever. And then Alicia would be like, dinner's on the table. She would text me knowing that I'm actually like pulling up in the garage. And then I'd sit there for 45 minutes getting back to all my online clients and then editing a reel to put it up. And I get inside and she'd be finished her dinner. She's upstairs showering and going to bed soon. And I'm having a cold dinner by myself. Yeah. And that would happen 4 days a week. And she just knew that, like, if she would come in and try to get me to stop, I'd be overwhelmed because I'm like, if I don't get this done now, it goes onto tomorrow's plate.
Yeah.
But very quickly I realized that that's, like, I lost a lot of weight in a bad way. And like there was photos that we got at Christmas where we were using a beauty light and the beauty light still couldn't make me look beautiful.
You're like, that's when you know you're run
my
down.
My eyes were like sunken in and I'm like, the beauty light is not working.
And it's also like, for what? Like, for what are you doing that? Like all of that to have
Like, well, I'll die in a few years of just like, because stress really creates like the start of like cancer and disease and everything. Yeah, sickness starts from like
even just being stress. Run down, the more like cold and flus.
I was sick heaps. My nose was like, and then I was trying to surf to like as my escape.
Yeah, I remember you'd always come in, you'd be like, you've been surfing and you're like so blocked up and your eyes are all watering. So like, are you good?
Yeah, it looked like I'd smoked like three bongs and been in a bender.
It's like 6 a.m. I'm like, have you slept? You're like,
And the guys that were on a bender looked way better than me.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I went through. So yeah, Beyond Bodies, that's where you're at now. And you've pulled back a little bit. So you've figured out how to do both.
I feel like I've structured a lot better. Like, I have Mondays fully off for, like, client check-ins.
Awesome.
And then have Tuesday afternoon
off.
It's
just nice to have Mondays off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Wednesday mornings. And that's pretty much it. So, like, half days throughout. But then I guess the days of working are still, like, starting very early. Or, like, tonight I finish at 6:30.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, yeah, you just get home, do all the things, then wake up.
I actually found that when I was fully online and didn't do any face-to-face or I didn't have an assistant who was filming or anyone to like tell me I had to be somewhere at a certain time, it was really cool for a week.
Yeah.
And it worked. And then you're like... Yeah. And then it worked well when I was in Bali and Thailand working from over there with Alicia because I was like creating content and I was motivated and stuff.
When you've got that person to like bounce off and be with, it's
Or even just because I was in a different country, I was motivated. I'm not going to waste time. And like everyone else didn't have full-time jobs. Everyone else was self-motivated and I was meeting up with guys and it was like, it was really cool. And but when I was doing it from home, I found out really quickly that I'd be like laying in my bed on my phone till like 8 a.m., which is doesn't sound late for most people, but you were up super early this morning. I seen on your story, like 3:30. Fucking hell, don't say that too loud. Crazy.
That's
hell.
Just the weekly every morning
trying to beat Frank to the gym.
I go train at a different gym, get that different first, gym then go to work.
But yeah, so like it would just be so chaotic in doing all that. So for you with Beyond Bodies, you're at a point now like what type of online coaching are you doing Beyond Bodies, like more one-on-one stuff?
So I do one-on-one with it as well, but then I also have created just like two programs that people can just purchase so that there is that component to it for people that don't need as much one-on-one. But then, like fully one-on-one personalized coaching. So the option for both. And then I also, the next thing is I want to create a course through that.
You need to make a one-to-many if you really want to be successful long-term.
Yeah.
Because if you have one-to-one, because we do one-to-one at the moment and I have a team that does a nutrition side and I do the programming and then I still do the check-ins.
Yeah. And check-ins are a lot.
And it's too much. I need to make adjustments. So I need to make a price change to either the premium side and make a lower base ticket stuff.
Yeah. So there's something for everyone still.
Yeah. Like what you're doing, that's really good. Luckily, most of the check-ins are like nutrition adjustments. And that's what I was talking to you about like a few years ago when I was saying, I think it'd be good for you to get some type of team or some type of like, you know, that side of things to work on nutrition side. But you're quite good with that and you kind of like love to explain to your clients that it's not about what the food looks like, but it's also not about the total calories. It's really about having a good relationship with food.
But I do also get, I remember at that time you were saying you're like, there is some people that just need a meal plan. And I do understand that, like just because my view is there is certain people that are just like, I don't want to think about food. My relationship's fine. I just need somebody to tell me what to eat and go about my day.
They're real like, those are the people that are like the managers at Optus, the chick that's like.
Yeah, they're just like, I just don't care about.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah. I want eggs,
just tell me this
that,
and then.
And they repeat the same meals, like even like bodybuilder, like for me I did like a record on my fitness pal a few years ago. I did 400 days straight of tracking. And it was stupid sometimes on a Sunday when I wasn't tracking and I was doing
something.
I would enter something
yeah
and then I'd go through and be like, what did I eat today? I'd ask people in the house and they're like, dude, and I'm on a record. I'm like, who? No one's seeing this record.
If you have, you can have friends on my fitness pal. You can have.
Yeah. Like, you can see. But I didn't have them. I had like a few people that would like screenshot or find, ask me what my FitnessPal name was. And I was
Fake to see like your recipes and stuff.
I was documenting my food on, that's back when Snapchat was big. It's still big now, but that was before there were stories on Instagram. This is going back a while ago. Snapchat was
really.
And I was getting like 10-15K views on my Snapchat public stories. So I was like putting up everything I was eating, and I was bodybuilding, prepping, you know, that people have prep life. It's over the top.
Yeah. But people love to watch it.
It's weird, because
it's over the top. Like it's something that will always get a lot of attention.
Have you heard of a book? Oh, not book. It's not Bukkake. It's not Bukkake. There's a thing. There's a name on YouTube. I have to pull it up. Fuck, it'll come to me. It's the Japanese word for eating a lot of food on video or something.
Okay.
And it's called like a bukang or something like that. Sounds like bukkake. That's why it's really viral. And it's all the viral videos on YouTube of like people lining up all the different types of food on their bed and then eating it in one go. The word will come to me.
Yeah. You'll be like halfway through something else and you'll be like, I got to say it. Yeah, like
always. I have some questions for you that I want to get to. Otherwise, I'd be more than happy to chat here for an hour. But I really like this because it's stuff that it's like they're leading questions to get into more stuff. So this one could go for a bit. What was your childhood like? Because this is not something that we've never really spoke to about before.
Have we not gone in that?
I don't know. Like we spoke about like your sister and stuff. And your childhood. I feel like you just pushed it away a little bit.
Yeah, not push that to the side. No, I don't. It was, so I grew up in the bush.
Cool. That's probably why we get along a little bit. Yeah. I grew up in the bush too.
Like tiny little, not even town. Like you'd go to the local farmer to get like your milk and eggs. Little community hall. Where's your accent,
mate?
there's still some things I say and I'm like, you can't take that out of the girl.
Yeah.
But it's so funny because people will be like I lived in Sydney for a little bit. People will be like, oh, you're from Sydney. Like you're from the Gold Coast. And I'm like, no. Like, I couldn't be further from it. Yeah, so grew up with that. Like no.
Whereabouts?
Northern New South Wales.
Okay, yeah.
So like
proper bush. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, proper bush. Yeah. The closest thing people would probably know would be like Casino and Tenterfield.
Wow, so like inland as well.
2 hours like.
How far inland. Away from like Lennox Heads, Byron?
Byron would be like 2 and a bit hours.
So it's like inland and south from Byron?
Yeah.
Sweet, yeah. There's some good surf spots near the coast there. That's really cool.
Yeah, and then, but our closest town would have been Casino. Lismore, which was like an hour.
Oh, Lismore.
Was like an hour and a half. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So more country than where I grew up.
Very, very country.
So how old, how long were you there for? Were you born there?
I was born there. I was there until I was 15, I think. And then I moved out of home. So that was
15.
I moved out of home at 15.
What kind of drove you to move out of home at 15?
Parents breakdown, like parents, very bad parents divorce. Me, I was the youngest. So 2 older sisters had like moved out, just feeling very not happy within that, I guess. Mum was moving out. She was more like the stability of the house. And I moved out of there into Lismore at the time. And
that was the closest kind of like town.
Yeah, it was just like kind of get out something different. Did school there for a little bit. That wasn't working.
Where did you live to do school there?
I rented a house with...
By yourself?
No, with my older sister.
Okay, yeah.
She moved down from Gold Coast and then two of her friends. Yeah. I think it's crazy. We paid $45. Or something.
Yeah, something really low.
Tiny like that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but had a very like quiet upbringing in the sense of like nothingness, I guess. Like
before the breakup with your parents.
Yeah.
Because my parents broke up when I was like 1 or 2, so like any trauma or memories are like kind of I can't remember them, but mum's like they would try to get back together. And then I'd be like a toddler when they were trying to sort things out or whatnot. And I'd run up and like hit my dad on the leg when they were like fighting because they were a bit violent and domestic and whatnot. Yeah. But I can't remember that. All I know is a lot of my kind of masculine trauma stuff was growing up without a father. So I wanted to pack on a lot of muscle to like build the masculinity. And I got into boxing before that. It was all about being more of a man because I didn't really have a lot of that direction.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about that is, and I listened to a really awesome guy on YouTube, he was like, just because your parents are there for doesn't mean that they're the right figure for you because it's a different society. It's a different kind of thing.
Yeah.
So like some people are better off without a father if he wasn't going to be good because he was an alcoholic or whatnot. So before the breakup, was there just normal family going on?
No, not at all.
No, it was pretty crazy too.
Like I don't remember a time that mum and dad were like happy. Like it was always like fighting. And
before
like
you said it was like... nothingness that growing up, as in like you were...
Nothingness in the sense of like I feel like these days if you did like, no, like social media, no TV, just like very thought, like we lived in the bush. We rode push bikes to the river on the weekend.
Okay, so when you say nothing, you mean like a lot of real shit.
Yeah, yeah. Just like I was just like a little feral kid out in the bush, same. Living like.
Mum would find me like in my nappy with mangoes all over me, and I'd be gone for an hour, and she was like, "Where were you?" And I was like, "Well, I didn't go anywhere." And I was like, "Have mangoes all over me." And she's like, "You went across the road to the mango farm." I'm like, "Nah."
Nah. Whereas now you wouldn't even dream of doing that, and like I rode motorbikes and was just like I was a very tomboy kid, I guess.
So your nothingness means, for the listeners, a lot of actually real shit.
Yeah, just like
not social media. Yeah. There was no Instagram,
I don't think we had a TV till I was
internet.
No, we got internet. I remember like in dial-up
or something.
Yeah, like later years when I can remember when we'd like be allowed on MSN for like a little bit, but like dial-up phones wasn't allowed to like use like a hair straightener because we only had solar power. Like
all on of the those. Generator or something.
Yeah, you had to like start the generator.
Yeah, like that's actually a little bit similar to my childhood. Like, we didn't have any internet at all. Mum got satellite internet eventually, and I was trying to play video games online. It would drop out, and everyone's like, "Oh, it's fucking Jackson's on the shit internet again."
Yeah.
But I spent a lot of time outside.
Yeah, just like being.
Yeah. So I think the nothingness is really the everythingness. Yeah. It's like the
Very, very grateful for it in that sense. I feel like it teaches you a lot, and kind of makes you a different person to if you were to grow up with all of the noise around you.
The noise. Like it's, I think that's why like personality traits like us do struggle a little bit with the social media and all the energies at a big gym because we grew up at a more quiet time.
Yeah.
Where life was simple.
Yeah.
We sound old saying that.
Yeah. In our time it is like that though.
But mobile phones came out. The first Nokia 3315 came out when we were quite very young, like as in like teenagers, you know what I mean? Like people in high school didn't have, no one had iPhones in high school and me. Like, because I'm 31. How old are you?
27,
which is not that much different, especially because even though you're a few years younger, because you were at the place where you grew up, it's years behind.
Yeah. Country we had like two-way radios that we'd like call into our friends and go, "Come on over." And
Yeah.
And then we'd just like walk through the paddock.
And you'd have to to call your friend's home phone to like catch up with them. And you're like, "I'll be at the train station at 2:00 and you've got to be there. Otherwise you miss
otherwise
it."
Otherwise that's that.
So it was outdoors, country girl kind of thing. And then obviously you spent a lot of time outdoors with your sisters, with your friends, because the parents' situation, you could tell that your mum wasn't super happy or your dad wasn't super happy.
Yeah, like I was like, there wasn't a lot of love or happiness in the house, I guess. And then, because I was youngest, older sister moved out when I was probably like 12, I think, and then the other one also moved out very early. Yeah. So I was kind of,
because they were both like, "I need to get the fuck."
Yeah, this is, I just felt like the kind of left in it.
And you felt like
there, I guess.
When you got to an old enough age, then they could break up. They feel like they had to bring you to a certain age before they could.
I don't know if it was that, or if it just got that was the years
worthy of
that.
Up.
If that makes sense, because it wasn't like they even really played Happy Family to make it.
They didn't even try to play.
Yeah, like
it was pretty real.
I know. I guess you only remember the bad things as well. Like I'm sure there was lots of happy times and nice things, but I'm like the memories that I have. Like I remember chasing mum down the driveway, like bawling my eyes out, like things like that.
Yeah, just like the memories are like scars. Yeah. You only remember the ones that are like legit, like the injuries that are impactful, you know what I mean?
Yeah, those things that kind of stay.
That's how memories happen. And some kids are like, "Oh, I remember throwing the ball the first time with my dad." And you're like, "Remember the first time they went, fucking, I hate you. And I wish you would die," or whatever, like crazy shit. You know, I would have, even when mum had partners, you know, they would try to fulfill like a father role for me. And I was a fucking crazy anger. I was a bad kid. I had anger management. I was like, "You're not my fucking father." And I tried
to fucking fight. That's a big thing to deal with though. Like you're someone trying to take that role kind of thing. Like,
And like troubled teen. Yeah. That's why I have so much time for like the youth work side. I've done some youth work part time. I'll sometimes train some younger kids.
I remember used to have the young boys into.
And a lot of them have just got fucking shit upbringings. And then some of them have good upbringings. And they're just like, they're a teenager and they're angry for no reason. Yeah. They're full testosterone.
They just can't work things out.
They need to like play a game of soccer or footy with friends or like go camping with some real men and shit like that. They just don't have that direction. So you move out. You go to Lismore, you go to like the bigger country town, still not a big town.
It was much bigger, like to put in perspective. First, I did homeschool for a lot of years.
Oh, shit.
So that was like very isolated.
Yeah.
And then the school that I went to, I think there was like six people in a no, first primary school would have been like 20, and then the high school, I literally, there was times that I would have like 6 people in my class.
Which so is like a dream for some people because you get more one-on-one attention, but it's I was so, if
the teachers worked out early, like I was that naughty kid that if you gave me a job, like if you made me feel special, I was good.
Yeah, yeah. You
otherwise, need to get some direction. I was like, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like, and make me, yeah, feel...
Well, you're used to being outside doing shit with your hands and like riding motorbikes, like... And you've been riding motorbikes before I ever had a motorbike. We couldn't afford one, but for you to be out on a farm, everyone has motorbikes out in like big farms. So you get to Lismore, you go to school. It seems like it's pretty normal kind of country school.
Yeah, but it was so daunting, like a school of 1,000 people. And because I was so...
From a homeschooling.
From homeschool and just from not. Like I had no confidence within myself, let alone...
How old were you when you went to this school?
I'd been 15, 15, 16.
So, and then you'd moved out. You're living with your sister and going to school.
Yeah, and working.
By having older sisters, was the body image already a real thing for you by then?
Yeah,
like sure. You knew about like what girls, what prettier girls look like, or what skinnier girls, or what? Like,
yeah, just what watching them go through it, I guess, and then also you obviously, I was comparing myself to them.
Yeah, of course.
As well,
like, and your sisters are quite pretty too.
Yeah,
like, and you're pretty, but like at
that age, when I you're younger, though, like,
they're like developing boobs and bodies.
I was still like. Little bit. I wasn't large by any means, but I was like
tomboy.
Going through my tomboy phase. Yeah. I didn't have my. They obviously had like eyebrows and things done by then, like shaving their legs. Whereas I was still at that younger phase that I just felt so like gross within. I guess. Like,
yeah, yeah. Of course. I think every 14, like it's different now. 14, 15 year old girls have got that 20.
What?
They're on TikTok.
You're more together than I am. Like they get more things done. They're more put together.
Asking their parents to get approved for plastic surgery and all this and those jobs.
That's like, what ridiculous.
It's horrible. Like we'll get onto that later, but. I want to know more. So you, do you leave school eventually there? Do you
finish then I, school? So I thought I got a job in just like a cafe.
Yeah.
And then I thought I was like, I'm going to go do an apprenticeship as a chef.
That's cool.
So I left school, started doing that, realized that I think I was getting like $7 an hour. I was working like.
We have a very similar upbringing. I started an apprenticeship as an electrician.
Yeah.
Thinking that was like the dream.
Yeah.
And I was getting $7 an hour and I just couldn't see the end. I couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel.
No. Yeah, it was ridiculous. And the hours, because you're obviously like working when everybody else isn't.
Chef would
like,
not be good for you.
No,
eh?
It was not good by any means.
But obviously you had a creative side around the food.
Yeah, I don't even know what the...
It was just like a thing that was offered and you just did it.
I was like kind of just, fell into it, wanted to do that. It didn't last long, to be honest. And got caught up in like a bit of a wrong crowd.
Of course. What, you're like 16, 17, you got older sisters.
Stole my sister's ID, was like going out.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember this one time she was in hospital for something and I'd literally stolen her ID and was like out clubbing.
While she's in hospital. And they didn't have scanners back then.
Like looking at it. And
you
like,
look
that's...
a lot like your sister too. So
yeah, no,
like,
I do.
Yeah,
and especially in that time.
Dressed up, makeup on. Like, yeah. And you would have been like, I'm a fucking adult.
Yeah. I think the thing that got me was it was such a small town. I think they knew someone or they knew that I wasn't. Yeah. Like, you can't do that there.
So drugs, alcohol, as we do when we're 17, 18. I had a real problem. I don't know. You might have read some of my posts back in the day. I had a real problem with drugs and alcohol. And that led me to fitness.
Yeah.
That's one of the questions in the books. I'm just going to ask it now. And we'll go through more of like between high school and whatnot. But like. What led you, like, when was the first time you did, like, a training session or whatnot?
In Lismore, actually. So when I first moved out of home, I joined a Snap Fitness
there. Cool.
I remember doing my first, I did, like, a PT session, like, how they do, like, the induction
thing. With a trainer?
Thing. Yeah.
What was that like?
I felt so...
Uncomfortable?
Like, yeah, like, no, I remember him being, like, squat.
Was
like,
it a male?
It was a male.
Yeah, yeah.
I did it with one of my friends. I think one of my friends joined with me. And, yeah, he was, like, do a bodyweight squat. And I just, like, had no idea. I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah. And you're like, pee in the bush. Squat.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, mate.
Literally, I'm like, yeah, I can do that. I've been doing this my whole life. I also feel like then, or maybe it's just I know more now, but the direction that I give to clients is a lot more than the direction I got. Like, he was like, do a squat, and that was it. There was
training has come so far.
Yeah, like, there was no real direction.
It was just...
in what to do.
Very redneck personal training, and I'm sure it could have just been that there's some of the trainers that we've seen back in the day.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was good trainers in certain parts of Europe, America, or whatever. But, like, training has come so far. And some people have taken it too far in certain ways. But at the end of the day, like, the knowledge and the science and the way to coach, like, even my coaching, I'm sure yours too. Like, I've been coaching for 11 years now. And I remember when I did my first PT sessions, I had to give free PT sessions for new members just to get my experience up.
Yeah.
And I was like, I had a stopwatch on my neck, and I was like, real
You're like, right, 90 seconds, shit. We're going again.
And like 70 yeah. hours before it, the night before, I'm playing Call of Duty with my mates, smoking bongs till like 11 p.m. And then I'm trying to get it together in the morning.
Yeah, and all I'm, scattered and then annoyed at yourself for the...
Well, and I'm just like, I don't know what I'm like. But I was, for some reason, I was really good at anything like practical, face-to-face, real yeah. shit. I sucked at like the study side of things.
Yeah.
But then I was like saying too much, not enough, and then direction and... Overcoaching, yeah. and I think
you learn. Well, actually, no, you don't learn very well. You learn to read. Like some clients I have need a lot of direction or want a lot of form change, and other ones I'm like, you're half here to like chat shit and get a workout. Yeah, yeah. You don't need to know every single fine detail. If it's slightly off, but we're okay, I'm not going to pick on you. Like,
I love that you said that. You actually learn psychology being a trainer.
Yeah.
You learn body language and psychology, yeah. and you can read people really well. I think a really good trainer, face-to-face trainer, like obviously there's online trainers, they probably have very little skill when it comes to real, like some of the best online trainers that have never worked properly in gyms, they would be fucked trying to train a new person.
Yeah.
They would
but
be fucked.
But a lot of them deal with the higher level, so you are just training. It's just programming and nutrition. It's not. I remember I got into it and I was like, it's going to be sick, like you're going to get girls to lift heavy shit. I got in and I'm like, I have to teach you how to do a body weight squat.
How to just bend their knee or yeah. their hip in a way, like a Bulgarian, just get their knee slightly bent, yeah. you know?
Yeah.
So like... What, so you trained, how old were you when you first went in the gym? And is it because your sister was going to the gym or anything?
No, I don't actually know if she was. I think I honestly just joined with one of my friends.
Your friend was like, let's do this.
Yeah. And I was not happy within myself at all.
Were you, like had more body fat then?
No, more body fat than I have now.
No, and just, I mean, just like, were you a bigger girl or a skinnier girl?
I was skinny. Like, I was very skinny. This is, I had issues with food then, so, like, I was very skinny.
Yeah.
But I still wanted the training outlet, but it was more just, like, still just, like, cardio, moving. Like, there wasn't
like
as much.
Like, those old, like, booty program where, like, yeah. jump squats.
You know Kayla Eat Science?
Yeah, oh, yeah, I did.
That was one of the first ones.
Oh, that's cool.
That I was, like,
yeah,
did, which was just 20 minutes of, like, jumping
Kayla's
around.
Ex-husband is now with Rachel Dillon.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is like he's the mastermind behind of a lot of
yeah,
a lot of Kayla, and Kayla's very successful. I think a big part of Kayla's success is she looks so much like everyone. You know what I mean? Like she isn't big booty or really shredded.
It's just general, it's relatable, it's general.
She figured out how to make the app to many.
Yeah.
Like anyone can relate to her, everyone. Especially after she's had a kid or whatnot. But so you did that and it was more of like, I want to like just build some more muscle. I'm quite skinny.
I think at that time it was honestly more, I wasn't even about muscle. Yeah. I was like, I just don't like myself. So we're just going to go in
just
and
like
fuck
punishment?
About it. Yeah. More like punishment.
Like I should do more cardio, like whatever the trainer tells me to do.
Yeah.
And then from there, was it like quite patchy? You weren't like a consistent person. You were just going in there with a friend or whatnot around work times or
something. Yeah. I don't think it got consistent. So then from there, I moved to Warwick, literally just with a friend, just random. I was like, I need to get away, start
you're
something
doing,
different.
You were partying.
Yeah.
Naughty stuff.
Yeah. I moved there with a girl. We weren't that close of friends at the time, but then we obviously became like best friends. We just rented a house there together. I went back to school and kept up with training then, like started a little bit more consistent with it, but it was still just like classes.
What was one of your, when was one of your first by yourself training sessions where you started using weights and stuff?
I would have done it then. So like what would I have been? I would have been like 18 at this age, this stage. But honestly, the first time that I properly was like, we're going to follow a program and get somewhere would have probably only been like 5 years ago. I did a lot of like, because then I moved to Sunshine Coast and did uni for a little bit. Even then it was just like, I'd do like back-to-back grit class, body pump, step.
And
what was it, Fernwood, and was just like...
That was normal, though.
Yeah.
Like the men would be in the weight room and the girls would be in the classroom or at the core area.
Yeah.
Getting a little bit
I do
of pink,
core cardio,
pink dumbbells. Just...
Literally that. There was no like squats, deadlifts,
hip thrust.
No, there wasn't even hip thrust.
Brett Contreras invented that exercise in like the early 2000s or something.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have got from America to here for ages. And you know what? If anyone did hip thrust, when I went to my first gym when I was really young, I first did weights at my boxing gym. They just had weights on the ground, like old ones. My mum was a ex like bodybuilder and personal trainer. So I had really good person to like pushed me in that direction. She was amazing. Like, you know, I talk about my mum all the time. Yeah. But she's like the hero of my whole story. Like,
yeah.
Naturopath, nutrition specialist. Like, I learned so much from her. But I remember getting like skinny little barbell, and I could only do like a 15 kilo barbell, and I'll be shaking the first time.
Yeah.
I was like 57 kilos when I was like 16 or 17.
That's 2 kilos more than what I weigh.
It's crazy, yeah. And I was like just doing boxing, but we had weights at the boxing gym. When I first went into the country ass gym that we went into to start doing weights, it's because I was watching Ziz videos.
Yeah.
just taking Jack 3D and
yeah.
just like my sole thing for building muscle, because I'd done boxing, I learned how to fight and whatnot. But my sole thing was like the guys in the movies, like I watched Blade when Ryan Reynolds was shredded, when he had his arms behind his back. I'm not sure if you've seen that Blade movie.
No, Ryan, I know all of them, but I don't think...
There's a meme of Ryan Reynolds with his arms behind his back and he's got veins and he's shredded and he's in good shape. Okay. I remember seeing that movie when I was very young and I was like, fucking, he's going to get the girls.
You're like, yeah, that's
what I need to look like to be approved by this world or whatnot. But there was... No one did hip thrust.
Yeah.
And even if, like, girls were doing it, guys would be like, oh, stupid shit, doesn't work. Like, and
a lot of still, guys are still like that.
They're still like that, yeah.
There's still a lot. When I see a guy in the gym doing it, I'm like, you get it.
I think I was probably one of the first trainers to be doing, like, hip thrust at Fitness Cartel myself. Not just with my clients, but myself.
You're doing them yourself, yeah.
Yeah, and guys would be like...
Oh, and actually working on them. Like, you're not just, like, demonstrating, like, you're doing a set, you're trying to go heavy, yeah.
Like, I'd train with my clients sometimes and just do, like, I don't know, 150, 160, 170, 180. And, yeah, I could have gone heavier. But, like, I just wanted to do it for, like, a 8 to 10 rep set and put it in a program and actually see it, show people, like, it makes you build muscle in your glutes. And it's a good exercise. It kicks a little bit of stress off your back. If you're always doing everything, like, heavy squat, heavy deadlift, end up with back problems and hip problems and everything as well.
Yeah.
I got another question for you. I got a few of these. Where are we at here? You know what got you into training? So what got you into training really was just to, like, preference that. Like, it's just... Your friend asked you to go. You weren't happy with your body.
Yeah, like self-hate. And that seemed like the way out of it.
I actually think that's the same as girls right now.
I was going to say, I think it's honestly the reason
Everybody
gets into it. Yeah, like it saves you from something.
First of all, it's for the wrong reasons, but it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. And then I think it's the reason it becomes the right thing is because it teaches you like discipline and how to stay in a routine.
Self-love.
Yeah.
You know, when you start to see some of the good sides of your body because you put the work in. And you know what I love about training? It's not like surgery or anything else. The only way to have a good body before BBLs came out, but you can tell, you know, the only way to really have a good body consistently and for you to know is that you've put the work in.
Yeah. That's what makes it a thing. Like I was speaking to one of my clients about that and I said, I was like, even if I had the money, it would never be something... Because you don't get that satisfaction of, I worked for this. Like, it's not the process you go through. You're just like, this is how.
It's a good feeling knowing that, like I think some tradies in some market that have the right market. So, like, for example, a tradie who makes, like, old wood tables for rich people or something.
Yeah.
Like, where he can afford to do it. He spends 3 weeks on this old wood table, lacquers it, gets it done. And when he delivers it for a client, it's finished. It's a really good feeling. He's put the work in.
Yeah.
I feel like that at the end of a workout.
Yeah.
Like I've sculpted the right way. I'm in the mirror posing. Shit.
You're like booty be popping. Coming through.
What's your ideal weekend look like?
Sunrise. We do drive up to Pridgeon. 20 minutes. Little beach town. Get like coffee, sit on the beach, watch the sunrise.
So you escape the Marucci city vibe and you go to something that's more familiar, like country, coast town.
Yeah. And just, little quiet. It's just like such a wholesome
I go to feel what's the place that does smoothies and berry bowls and stuff at Pridgeon right on the beach there. It's the little cafe there that everyone goes to.
Scale Cafe?
Raw Energy. Yeah, Raw Energy. Yeah, yeah. I go to Raw Energy there. So you go there.
Yeah, coffee, sunrise, sit down brekkie, but like something semi, like clean tasting, like not make me feel like crap.
But fun.
But still enjoyable. Not tracked. Just enjoy that.
Do you still do straight coffee, not decaf?
I have half-half.
Okay, good.
Cut back.
Yeah.
Try and only have 1 to 2.
Good, good, yeah.
And I've noticed my sleep is honestly so much better.
Yeah.
And just like the way I feel throughout the day.
Yeah. We used to talk about that at Fitness Cartel.
Because you'd come back in thing.
At 2 p.m. and I'm like...
And I'm drinking coffee and I'm like, nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no.
What goes after that?
Honestly, if I've had a big week, I love a weekend just inside, closed doors, watch Netflix.
But you've got out first.
Gotten out. I love being able to watch the sunrise because it's not something I can often do with, like, you're doing early clients or that's my training time. I will happily have a movie marathon.
Yeah, just chill.
Just chill, yeah.
What's some favourite old movies that you like that just bring you back to, like, happy times?
Oh, you put me on the spot.
You've got so many. Are you just watching
anything? I've got so many. I'm like, I don't even... We always go down a route of, like, the new movies, to be honest. Like, searching out what's...
Your man likes to chill and watch stuff too, eh? Yeah. Like, he's so much... It's like you were best friends first before you started dating. Friends.
Yeah.
I could see the early times of that. So just sunrise, coffee, nice breakfast, out of the house, and then back in and just movies.
It depends. If I've had a quiet week, then I'm like, let's get out, do something, go out for dinner. But that's rare. If I've had a busy week, then it's like that. Sometimes if I haven't got my sessions in, train on a Saturday.
Yeah, but on your own time, at a different gym that you don't work at. Like, I love that.
Yeah, eat some yummy food. Yeah. We usually have like a dinner out or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. What's your opinion on TikTok workouts? Now, you were saying earlier that you don't...
I don't have... So, I literally downloaded...
This girl doesn't have TikTok.
I downloaded TikTok a while ago for, like, not very long.
It's not good for you.
No. And I... Because it's the instant keeps playing. Yeah. I'm like, I know that I would just get so distracted.
And also, it's going to show you these girls that have magical better lives than you.
Not even that. It honestly doesn't... disconnected. Yeah. Like, I don't...
You know the bullshit's
there. No, but I don't get when people are to even compare themselves to that or have people, like, say things to me, like, what does that do for you? Like, it does nothing. I'm like, I don't...
So you've never compared yourself to other people's bodies?
Oh, no, I definitely have, but that's now, why at this stage I did in life, it so much up until you now that I've gone the complete other way because it was such... like a negative thing on my life.
You grew through that.
Yeah, that I was like, this is actually not serving me at all.
I thought you were going to say, like, you just never did. I'm like,
No, I was the absolute worst for it. Like,
you've suffered so much from it that you let it go.
Like, yeah. And I had to not just let it go, like, I had to do a lot of work to get through it. But yeah, I was like, there's no.
So, what do you think? So, obviously, you don't have it, but what I meant by TikTok workouts is, like, you know how people who just film a heap of shit just to go viral? Like, we had this conversation earlier before we started the podcast, we were outside chatting. And you'll have clients or whatnot that are like, oh, why don't we do this workout? And it'll be like one of those workouts that looks good on TikTok or Instagram Reels. But doesn't
actually do anything.
Or it's like, it's just fancy shit.
Yeah. The simple stuff is what gets you the results, but it's what looks boring. So people are like, I don't want to do this. Mm. Like, yeah, they will come in and be like, can I do this because I saw it on TikTok? And I'm like, if you can tell me what we're doing this for, like if you can give me a good reason, we can try it. But like this variation that we do is the same thing in a more efficient way for you. Like.
And this way, we've been doing it for so many months, you've already got the technique down, so now you can build the strength, and that's going to give you the glutes.
Yeah.
Because I get called out on this too, because I make a lot of content.
Yeah.
Like, for a bit there, I was uploading 3 times a day.
On TikTok or...?
On every platform.
Yeah, wow.
Because Gary Vee and all these other people were like...
There's the ones that say that though, and then there's the ones that are like, don't.
Well, now I'm not doing as much, I'm going for really quality, but...
Yeah.
The growth was happening when I was uploading more. When you were doing it, okay.
Yeah. Because I didn't know whether it's people, don't just post to post if it's not something you're like.
I'll be honest, my stuff was pretty good though. Like, I literally
you were happy with it.
Was filming with expensive microphones on with clients that were in good shape and I'm giving information, or it's Alicia and me, like in Bali, it's like drone footage and me diving in the pool.
Yeah.
Like, it's good shit.
It's good quality, yeah.
But then I'll put a video up of the puppy sliding her butt on the ground for 5 seconds and it got 500,000 views on TikTok. It got 500,000 views on TikTok.
And did it have a voiceover or anything? Or
it had me saying, you sneaky little bitch, in the background. And then I had to appeal it. Someone said that I said I was calling my dog the wrong name or whatever. I said sneaky little bitch. I always call her little names and shit.
Yeah.
I love it a bit. So I appealed it because the audio got removed. The video was still playing, but the audio got removed.
I've heard TikTok is very, strict.
It's
like,
political.
Yeah.
I had an argument with this guy years ago who took one of my contents and, like...
I feel like I saw that.
Yeah, you saw it because you told me about it.
He was still at the gym and he...
Yeah. And because I was using not political correct words to argue with him, my stuff was getting deleted and his stuff was staying up. He knew how to... He was born in the TikTok era.
Yeah, so he knew exactly. I'm pretty sure he was an IT guy as well, wasn't he? Or was he a trainer?
He was like a wannabe trainer and he's got a massive TikTok now because he just bullies everyone.
It's almost like trauma bonding. Like, they're like, you're hating on people, let's hate on people together.
He had a following of bullies.
Yeah.
Like, he had an army of bullies. So when I called him out about it...
They all come.
And I literally said to him, because I'm old school, like, I come from martial arts background, like, I remember getting beat up in high school and then getting into martial arts. And if same as country towns you're from. Yeah. If someone was going to say something, disrespect you, sweet, where's your house?
Yeah.
Let me come talk to you.
Well, I know where you live.
I'd rather punch on and then close it out.
Yeah.
And it's fine. Like, I don't mean like guns. No, I mean like just man to man or just have a conversation.
Yeah.
So I went off at him and I was messaging him and I said, I'll find out where you live and shit. And then I realized, oh, he's in America. I'm never going to go.
I'm wasting
my time arguing with him. Yeah. It was a funny situation, but I was just so annoyed with how like he can go viral by like
bullying
girls, taking people's videos and trying to critique technique, which doesn't need to be critiqued. Like this girl's just started training. Of course, she doesn't have.
Like what I was saying before, like you don't. There is things that I'm doing, or even I'm watching a client do, and I'm like, we aren't 100% right, but me. Picking on you saying you're not doing it right is going to do worse for your confidence and you're not going to want to come back to the gym.
I would overcoach a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm getting better at giving 4 or 5 tips in the first few minutes of an exercise. Yeah, and like, right,
you've got that, now we'll move on.
And then my client will look at me and be like, am I doing anything wrong? I'm like, I'm not saying anything because you're doing the best you can do.
Yeah.
And we're going to get better and you're actually going to get better at it. You would get better at it even if I wasn't here by just going up and down and just doing the reps.
Yeah, like when people first start training, it's like they have no control over their body. Like they're doing the thing, but it's not.
You jump on a snowboard or have you been skiing or snowboarding?
No, I would be.
You jumped on a skateboard before?
Yeah.
Jump on a skateboard. No matter if I had earphones in and I was telling you, oh, right, you've got to lean on your heels. Yeah, you're just going to take your time.
I'd be wobbly as shit. Yeah.
You're going to take your time. I'm not going to.
You get used to
me telling you 40 directions is not going to make you a pro skater.
No.
People think that about a deadlift.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, you can make some directions.
But they need to have the control, like just learn the control of your body. Like they don't even know how to activate their muscles or like,
yeah
control the bar at all.
Just feel with it. So your overall opinion, like TikTok workouts, like viral clickbaity workouts, your opinion is that like the boring shit works?
Yeah. There's a reason. Like, but nobody, they're the workouts people aren't going to want to post and show because it is the boring side of things. But like the bodies that you see that have gotten through that have done the boring shit for years. And then they're like, let's make an Instagram workout or TikTok workout. To go viral. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like.
Like they're on a beach with dumbbells and a band. And I'm like, you don't look that way.
That was my next idea. But,
and I say it because I even went through that phase. Like when I first started out, I was like, let's film something fun.
Yeah.
And like, it's not the training that I was doing, but I was like, This is what I'm going to film because this is
I feel like there is a space for filming something that's a little bit different. But it's when people say, this is what I use to get glutes like this.
No, I'm all for like a fun holiday workout or even like airport workout or workout
body you can weight do. Only. Yeah.
Body weight you can do in the backyard where you're sunbaking, but don't these be
girls
like.
Girls with BBLs or that have trained for 10 years and have crazy genetics or just put the work in. This is what I did to get side upper left glutes. Yeah. No.
Or the thing that really gets to me is people complaining, saying hip dip workouts or girls complaining about that. Being like, what can I do for this?
Just build everything bigger and it'll visually be less.
Just accept it. Just be okay. Like,
yeah, I love that. That's literally beyond body. Just accept
it. Yeah. I'm like, it's, yeah. I love when it. You let go of that power of it, it has nothing over you.
Yeah. Some of the best Instagram girls with the best glutes. They actually have big hip dips.
I love it. That's,
but they pose in a way to not show it.
Yeah. No, but I like I've got hip dips where I'm standing front on, but I actually like the way it looks. Like hip goes out, it comes in. But then it's also what does give girls, like I can pop my booty out because that's the way it is. But people don't understand that. And like that is that's your power.
That's the next video you're going to make.
Yeah.
How do you get motivated to train?
I honestly am not. Like I'm not, there's not that many moments that I'm like, fuck so excited.
Like when you're younger, that sometimes that happens when you're pumping. Yeah, like
when
you're,
but when everything else is full, like when like my work schedule's full, I'm trying to do content, I'm trying to fill up all like my other parts of my life and training is just like happening. It's just like a thing.
It's like a chore.
Like it's just, no, but it's just like a non-negotiable, like whether I'm motivated or not. So you make it a
thing.
It's just not an option. Like I train at the moment, 5 days a week. Well, I've been getting up. That's why I got up at 3:30 because I was like, I do want to make it.
I had this argument with Alicia, and I don't like to call it arguments because we are very rare. I love a discussion. We are very rare to have like a heated discussion, but it's been happening a little bit more. And we get married in 7 weeks, and we've been looking at each other going, we've been arguing more. It's like because I think I'm starting to say the things that I've held back on.
Hold on to it.
Because I'm like, I just need to communicate.
Yeah.
If I tell you how I'm feeling, you might be a little bit of a weird reaction to it, but I need to tell you now because if I bury it down,
it'll come out in a different. One day
you'll be like, "Why are you doing this?" And I said to her, "Look, we own a coaching brand where there's thousands of girls online that love your body and you're an inspiration to them. And I know that's a lot of pressure on her.
Yeah.
But she's just my partner. She doesn't need to be perfect. But since we've got the puppy, she's like, okay, I've started walking the dog. And at first when we got the puppy, it was like a full-time thing. There was no taking it. When you first get a dog, you can't take him out because of parvo shots or their fucking, their jabs or whatever. So she basically just stayed at home with the puppy, which is great, very grateful. I could go to work and whatnot.
Yeah.
But she didn't really work out. And I tried to get her to work out and she was like, oh, I'm busy, whatnot. And then when the puppy could walk, we were taking it outside and she's walking it. And now that she's walking it twice a day, she's like, oh, I don't really need to train now because I'm walking. I'm like, well, we don't sell walking programs. We sell booty programs.
We don't sell puppy walking programs.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we just need to start doing that. So, you know, it's really important that you get in and train. And your glutes aren't going to stay the way they look. And I don't, this is not just for me. Like, I'll love her no matter what. I've said this to her over and over again. But I train, I work hard, I want to make sure that when I rock up to somewhere that I am confident in how I feel, so I feel confident when we get photos or videos or whatnot, and Alicia's usually the girl that's in my videos when I do tutorials, and if she just spends a year not doing any workouts at all and just does walks, whatever, she's going to look like one of those group class girls, like, you know.
I also think I couldn't be with someone that doesn't train, not because of the reason of how they look, but it's because they're taking care of themselves. It's the discipline. It's the way they feel like you're a better person. Like, I'm such a better person, which is why I've made the top. Like, we'll get up early and go and train because then I'm better for the rest of the day. Whereas if I don't do that for myself, then I'm just... It's not a body image
thing for your partner. No. Like, you probably even like someone who's not so shredded and cut and big and... as in, like, you don't need someone to be, like, top five bodybuilder or whatever.
No.
But you want someone that's... got the routine like you, because otherwise you could get dragged back, and it'd be like they're asleep or they're like not doing the healthy habits and they've got bad food in the house and you're trying to be a good person,
whereas it's like the opposite, which is so good, like having that pull
you want both going the same direction. So I love that you said, you know, how you get motivated to train is like, it's not motivation,
it's just not a non-negotiable. But if I am to like amp myself up, like if I'm like, I want to, I want to feel this workout one, which is like bought them earlier so that it's not like if I'm working the morning and then I'm last, it's more like dragging my feet through it. Earlier, so like, if you can structure your day so that you're not, no things can kind of get in the way, I guess. Yeah. Like I don't have other things on my mind. It's just get up, go and do that. I will treat myself to like pump. I don't use pre-workout, but like a pump.
Yeah, formula. I used to use pump too.
One, the flavor of it, but also it's just like a little mental thing of like, okay, we're doing it.
Bit of beetroot, bit of alanine or whatever.
It's just good. And then I'll do either like a little bit of cycle or walk on the treadmill, and I'll actually listen to like R&B, like sexual music.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. It's just, I'm just like, okay, I'm feeling it.
You got like it. Pony plan and you're like, yes. I'm just on the top game tonight.
Yeah, as soon as I like start listening to the music, it's just like,
I'm ready to go. I listen to Machine Gun Kelly or like Screamo if I really want to fucking get going.
No, that's once I get into my sets. I've got like the sexuals, the like next... the get there. Yeah, then I'm like, okay, we're doing deadlifts. And then we've got that and then it'll...
You need to make a playlist for everyone.
Yeah.
Your sexual R&B sexual, pre...
Literally, it just does. And confidence as well in the gym.
Yeah, like just... You start catwalking to the gym.
Yeah, literally, if you see me strutting down the gym.
Yeah, but damn, girl.
You know what I'm listening to.
Oh, man. Have we trained before,
We have? We have trained together.
We had a good session. And we're going to train again maybe soon, next week or something, when you get your tights.
Do you want to waiting for my delivery?
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I'm the same. Guys can wear the same shorts and singlet for 3 months when they train.
Yeah.
But it's
no, girls. I go through a phase, I've got them and then it's like all at once. Don't like any of them. They're all like stretched and out of shape. Yeah. So then it's like a influx of them again. And then.
Every girl can relate to you.
Especially for lower body, because you've got to be comfortable. Like upper body, I can more get away with things, but lower body, I'm like,
you can wear the same crop top or you can wear a few different crop tops.
Yeah, it just doesn't need to move as much. Whereas like, I'm like, if I'm squatting, deadlifting, they need to be comfy.
What tights are you getting in?
Navigation.
I was going to literally say that. I knew, because it takes fucking ages.
Yeah.
And the chick that runs it, they need to fix their website because they fuck up all the time and then they make people wait 3 months on stock. Yeah. Her and her boyfriend must be multi-millionaires.
Yeah, they've done well.
Buy bigger...
Get employed.
You know what? I think they should, of course they've got employees. I think the next step for them is to... It sounds horrible saying this, but to the way Gymshark made a move a few years ago where you actually bring in a real CEO. Someone that can handle a business of multi-millions.
Yeah.
Because they're getting to that level now.
Yeah.
And you only can do justice to your customers if you really want to make a brand that's really big and really good. And you keep saying we're dropping these new sets, and then you've got thousands of girls in the comments literally saying, I've waited 3 months, I missed the drop, crying, my your website crashed, all I've seen in the last two drops is website crash. And what's good is it actually builds a lot of hype around their brand.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's like you could be servicing more people.
So many more,
same as what we were talking about earlier.
I was going to say, it's like you've got to, which speaking to myself, you've got to learn to outsource the things that you're not good at, or in order
to
bring
someone in who knows how to manage like a big company.
And it is such a different, like that's why so many businesses fail or struggle, because you create it and you're like, yeah, like this, and then you're like, holy shit, there is so many
components. It's hard to let go. Components. I've got like an over, like I want everything to be perfect.
Yeah.
You know? That's awesome. I love to hear that, because some people are at an age or a time where they actually like do things to get motivated, or they are motivated to train. But I'm at where you're at, like as a trainer, just... and years of training now, like I don't really like doing weights that much anymore.
I like it once I start, but it's more just like the commitment and promise to myself, and also the thing of like there'll be days and I'm like, yeah, like you don't have to do this one, like that's fine, you've done four others. But then I'm like, 3 days of that is then you've only trained 2 days for the week. Like that mindset of like, it's just one workout, you can miss it. Yeah. Is then just like a ripple effect.
And it really helps. It allows you to eat more food.
Yeah. I'm just a better person.
Yeah, you are a better person. Like I love seeing The Rock, for example, like 4 a.m. just finished filming the fucking movie at 2 a.m. I slept for 2 hours. I'm here doing weights. I'm like, you're crazy, motherfucker. You're crazy. So counting calories or meal plan, what do you prefer?
Counting calories.
Yeah, yeah.
But I honestly went through a phase, I'd never like really done meal plans, went through a phase of like very, very strict calorie counting, like wouldn't even want to eat dinners out or things like that would like freak me out.
Extreme versions were not unhealthy. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas I would say I'm at a very healthy point of I don't actually have to track that much because I know where I'm at with it kind of thing. And I have very fast metabolism in the sense of I can eat out and it doesn't affect me too much.
Because you understand the calories in, calories out concept and you put the workouts in. You keep your steps up by walking around the gym and everything.
Yeah.
On that subject, I know that you have dealt with the mild version of eating disorder in your life. I want to go into that subject because a massive percentage of young girls are openly just saying, as soon as they sign up with me, the first girl who said it, like when I first started training lots of girls, a girl online just wrote to me saying, oh, just let you know, I've got ED and I'm like erectile dysfunction.
I'm like, you're like, same sis.
I'm like, yeah, we're in this together. I got some pills for you. Nah. And like, then I realized very quickly, I was like, obviously that's not what she means. And I just, so is there any advice? Like what's something that triggered you when you were younger? And then short version of that. And then is there any advice you can have for any girls that are dealing with it?
I honestly feel like things that I remember that triggered me. One was just having older sisters and like comparing myself to that. Two was like not feeling loved in the sense of I didn't feel like I was getting love, the love that I wanted from my parents. It was like my way of, I guess, trying to seek that love. Like I was like, if I was sick or if I was unwell and I didn't feel like, I was like, I'm not pretty, so I may as well be like really skinny or like try and like find my worth.
And do you think some of the boys, like back then it was all about being skinny too.
Yeah. Like I remember being, I clearly remember being like, do I have a bum in this? Like I want to make sure I don't have a bum.
You don't.
Whereas now, now like
fat,
I'm like,
I don't want to have a fat bum. Like, and now chicks are like, I'll fucking eat everything till my ass is fat.
Yeah. I remember I would have been quite young, and because I went through a phase that I was like a little bit chubbier. Yeah. And I remember I
was just healthy as a young kid.
Yeah, like I was just going through that phase. But I remember I overheard my mum speaking to someone, and she was like, if she doesn't stop eating, she'll end up like a little porker. And like, and I don't really
triggered
you, I don't know whether, like, I remember that, and I don't know whether that was like the trigger for it or if it was. I just feel like it was so much.
Usually it's usually a group of triggers.
Yeah.
That like that stack
just
up.
Just like compiling. But then it was the fact of I had no control over what was going on like with my parents or in my life that I was like, okay, I can control food.
That's this a huge one, eh?
This is what this is literally the only thing in my life that I can do. I went through phases of like having OCD with it.
Yeah.
Just because I was like, I can't do anything. So like, this is all.
I think I have a mild, not just think, Alicia will love this because she's like, you got... like everything has to be a certain way sometimes.
Yeah.
And if something's in a different spot, I'll move it a little bit. And she's like, you didn't need to move that. And you're it's like, usually the personal stuff. I'm not going around to other people's stuff. But like one thing that really bothered me about when I was like training at a gym where I had to share the gym, that's why I love being able to coach clients here, is like my stuff would be in a different spot. And I'm like, of course, I'm sharing this.
Who used this barbell?
Yeah. I want the hip thrust station always set up. No one on it. Yeah. You know? What advice? And before we go to that, what was your eating disorders? Was it more like just making sure your calories were really low, or how old were you? No,
I was like, honestly, bulimic or? I was bulimic, honestly, from age, like I don't remember teenage into 20 years that I wasn't bulimic.
Like, the last girl I had on went through like this exact same thing. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure she was saying that bulimia, like a lot of girls with eating disorder, like that's something. Oh yeah, no, it's definitely because she said she watched the documentary. You should watch the podcast. You really like it.
Yeah.
She watched a documentary in the UK, and it was about a girl who was a little bit overweight and a girl who was skinny who had bulimia.
Yeah.
And instead of getting education from the documentary, she got
bulimia.
That's what I need. I need to start. The skinny girl looks better than the chubby girl.
It starts, like, I remember joking around with my, like, year seven friends at school, and they're like, I'm going to stick a toothbrush down my throat to vomit. Like, it almost starts as a joke.
It's a real thing.
Like, but then I remember when I got to the point that I was like, okay, I don't want to live like this anymore. And I was like, just thought I'd stop. Like, I was just like, that's it, we're done. But I was like, no, like, it is so much bigger.
When you eat something that is a little bit more calories or a little bit less, or in your mind, less healthy, is there like a little dark,
it was literally
voice being like, just go to the toilet.
My body just got to a point of anything I would eat, I would vomit.
Actually feel anything. Sick. Yeah. Like, so you trained your body to just...
Like, it honestly didn't take that long. Like, a few times you would do it, and then it was just a point no matter what I would eat. Like, there would be days I'd pretty much live off, like, coffee, apple, protein bar. So, like, I wasn't eating, but then what I was eating, I was also vomiting.
That would have wrecked your gut microbiome as well.
Yeah. And then whenever I would eat, like, I went through extreme bloating and pain. And then so it was like when I did want to eat the food, I had to deal with the physical symptoms as well as the mental symptoms.
How did you recover from that? And what advice do you have of girls who are going through that, even if it's not bulimia, but they're maybe just like not eating enough?
Advice would honestly be to seek out a professional. Like, it's so much deeper and bigger than what you think. Like, to just be like, yeah, I'm going to
How did you get through it?
I saw a psychologist.
Oh, good. So you saw
like
a professional.
Yeah. I opened up to my sister. First thing was like, I guess, accepting it within yourself, and then also not being ashamed of it. Like, yeah. Mm. It's like, yeah, speaking to other people about it, knowing that you have like a support system. And then I worked with like all different psychologists, had to find what was kind of right within that.
And they would just give tips, and that would be the recovery phase.
Yeah. Even just facing, like, I remember I went to one, I was living around like Byron Bay at the time, which was really good in the sense of, because I'm a bit on like the woo-woo, like holistic side. So I remember I found this
good
one.
Good people there.
Yeah, and it was just, it wasn't like, what's the word? Like, it didn't feel like a psychologist. Like, there was times I'd just go.
A friend to chat with.
Yeah, and I'd just sit there and I'd just like cry because I just had.
Yeah, the, like, all the built up.
Yeah.
Like guilt and shame around doing it.
And then you don't even understand, like, now that I'm past it, and there will be times if I haven't eaten for a long period of time that I start to, not even nutty, but like when you're not eating, your mind is all over the place.
Yeah, yeah. And oh, like, I get, you've seen me at the gym and I've seen you, and we're both like, we need to sit and not just eat, like shove something in really quickly. I mean, sit down, breathe, have intent. Yeah. Oh, this is from a, you know, from the eggs on this farm. Like, think about the place where, feel, relax while you eat.
I don't even know the actual like science behind it, but it's something I would love to learn more on, like the actual reaction that is happening. No, like within your brain when you're not eating though, because I'm like, that's what causes half of the issues, and then it just keeps.
Well, it depends. If you actually go without eating and you're in a really relaxed environment, you actually go into like states of like fasting, states of like growth hormone release. Yeah. And it can be, it's not so easy for females to fall into the fasting. I think we spoke about this before.
Yeah.
But for most people who adapt to getting fasting, you actually start using the fat storage from your body. The problem is that takes a lot of time, and it's best for usually people that have lots of good relationship with food.
Yeah, and not in, like I was already in a manic state.
But if you're at work or stressed, or you have social media apps and you're scrolling screens, short-sightedness is a stress trauma feeling. So you'd want to go to a retreat or something and learn about fasting and whatnot. You wouldn't want to do it by yourself, because we both know, like, if you miss a meal and it's a few hours late, you start acting different.
Yeah, acting I just crazy. Don't do well. Edgy. Hungry. Like, I literally come home and Jesse's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I'm just hungry. Like, I just need food. And then...
Yeah. Alicia turns into a crazy, like I got to give her food every three to four
you're
hours.
You're like, oh, food. It's time. No, I'm just more like quiet and I guess almost like anxious energy. Like, I'm just like, there's just, not right.
All right. Last one. What is your three-year goal?
Three-year goal? I would love to grow beyond bodies to the point that I do have, I want to have other coaches work within it. Like, I want to have like an eating disorder team. I want to grow up more than just like what the knowledge that I have within that side of things, and then have like other people work within it for self-development side of things. I would say be fully online, potentially have a gym pending. I don't know if I want this, like if the stress layover.
I just went over this. I was looking I was looking at warehouses to get a Booty by Jack's gym, and I was getting psyched up about it. I was going to buy one as an investment long term, but use it as a gym to start with. And I sat with it for a bit, and I took some time, and I had a little edible, a little bit of weed, and I just like thought about it and just hung out with the puppy out in the grass. And I'm like, wait up, I'm just giving myself a big job again.
Yeah,
I left the gym
to not have
as much, so I can help more people online, and I can spend more time with my family. And,
yeah, like you've created freedom to then go and put yourself in the complete opposite.
Yeah. So I think I mean, if you ever have a space, it's probably not a space to open up to the public, but to film content and have your trainers travel
from I'd love the face-to-face component, and I would love to have a place that people can kind of come and feel comfortable, I guess. Yeah. Like girls that don't feel comfortable training in the gym. It can be like
a holistic clinic, not just like a big gym that's fast, fast, fast. Yeah.
Or even have like an in-house like psychologist if people wanted to come and like sit and have that like face-to-face. Yeah.
You'll know when it's the right time for that. So you've got your three-year goal for your business, but what about your life? Like, you know, you and your partner, like what's something that in 3 years, where do you envision? Do you ever have a thought? You're still young and you don't know where you just want to live full time yet, but like, is there a vision for like a property or?
We want to have bought something by then. So he's actually gone into real estate work. He's got a job up here for the time being, which is very exciting. Start off with that and then probably hopefully have property by then. But I'm honestly not someone that has a mapped out
You can't have a mapped out one. You can't have the white picket fence.
Yeah, like I'm not like 12 months time, this will happen. This will happen.
No babies on the card.
No babies on the card. No, I honestly feel like by 3 years time there would be babies. Yeah. But 27.
You're still young. Like Alicia's, I think she just turned 30, and we're like around that time where we're just like thinking about it, allowing it. Now that we've got the puppy, we're like, well, let's just wait till the puppy's a bit older now. But like, we're not putting pressure on ourselves, like, because if one of us can't have a kid, we don't plan on doing like IVF back to back and spending every dollar we have.
Yeah,
and, like,
to try and make that happen.
And for anyone who has done that, all for it. Like some women are just so their whole life, all they want.
I can't wait. Like I really, I used to think I wanted kids at like 16 and I can't wait. Like I'm so excited for that phase of our life. Yeah. But I also love business life, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like I'm both of those. Like I would happily be the mum and I can't wait for that. But I'm also happily the work
Do you
person.
Think because you had parents that were not so healthy growing up that you don't, this is what I have this problem.
Yeah.
I don't want to bring a kid into this world until I have a really stable place for it.
Yes, but I 100% know that I do have that. Like,
You would be able to do it.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I think my biggest, more on that, is just being with someone that I know wouldn't be an issue, if that makes sense. Like,
yes, exactly.
That's the
it's not about how much
me.
Money you have, but having the relationship and the personality of someone that will not cave under certain pressure.
Yeah, and
we'll
you just know no matter
float.
What, it'll like be okay and that they'll be like,
I think every girl just wants that, eh?
Yeah.
Like these young girls, they want these rich, like sugar daddy type of guys or people they travel around in like Dubai or whatever it is. Like they want the rich family young son or whatever. It's like, well, when they get a bit older, they realize like that guy can sometimes be the one that has multiple girlfriends or the one that's a bit,
or he's always working, not wanting to be absent. Yeah. The family, like you want like the cuddly one that's just like full of love. And
I think once you've had some real experience with all different types of men or whatnot, good and bad, I believe most women just want someone that will be there for them, but will still work.
And emotionally, like that you can feel like no matter what, you can say to things, because then you know that your kid is also going to have that.
Yeah.
Like
no
boundaries, able to say.
Yeah.
Anything.
That was an awesome combo. That's really good. You killed it.
Thank you.
Give us a hug.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you. Awesome.